The good news of God's love according to Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. If I were to ask you why the women went to the tomb on Easter morning, you might say that they went there to anoint the body of Jesus. After all, that's what we are told in 2 out of our 4 Gospels. After telling of his crucifixion, the Gospel of Luke says that the women who came from Galilee with Jesus saw his tomb and how his body was laid to rest in it. Then they returned to wherever they were staying and prepared spices and ointments. The Gospel of Mark tells us that when the Sabbath was over, they bought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus. But if the only gospel you ever got to read was the Gospel of Matthew, you might have a different answer. Did you catch what it said? As the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Not to see the body of Jesus and not to anoint it, just to see the tomb. Mark and Luke tell us that the women wondered how they'd get that big stone that blocked the entrance of the tomb rolled away. In the version of the story we heard today, they aren't even thinking about the stone. They just want to see the tomb. Our Gospels were not written in order to convert people to the Christian faith. They were written for people who already believed in Jesus. Each Gospel was written for a specific faith community that was facing specific problems and that needed specific words of encouragement. The congregation for which the Gospel of Matthew was written needed to hear that after the horror and heartbreak of the crucifixion of Jesus, and after a day of stillness and silence on the Sabbath, the women couldn't wait for the third day to dawn so they could go and see the tomb. If this was the only gospel you ever got to read, you might think that the women went to the tomb expecting to find it empty. Time and again, Jesus had told them that he was going to be arrested, put on trial, tortured, and killed in the most brutal and humiliating way that the Roman government could imagine, and that he would rise again. He told them all of this at least three times when he was traveling with them from the province of Galilee to the city of Jerusalem. The 12 male disciples who get all the churches named after them, they didn't seem to understand or accept what Jesus was saying, but maybe the women did. Maybe the women, who had always been second-class citizens in ancient societies and who were forced to try and create a life for themselves and their children, even under the brutal occupation of a foreign government, maybe they had a better understanding of how God shows up in the absolute worst times of our lives. And maybe, just maybe, because they went to the tomb where the body of the man who offered them so much hope for a brighter future had been laid to rest, and because they went there expecting to see a miracle, God did not disappoint. We don't know when or specifically how the resurrection of Jesus happened. The Bible never describes that to us. But the angel did not have to release Jesus from his tomb. He was already long gone from there before the women came to see it. God provided an earthquake to accompany the glorious descent of an angel blazing with light who stunned well-trained soldiers into submission and then rolled away and sat upon a heavy stone, all to reveal a tomb that was already empty. Our resurrection stained glass window includes one dumbstruck soldier dropping his sword. I love that. Much more intriguingly, though, if you really study it, it presents Jesus standing in front of a very 20th century tomb. This is not a cave in the hillside with a round stone. It's a rectangular vault set in the ground, sealed with a square-cornered piece of marble, now being held by an angel. You can even see one of the pegs that had fixed the slab to the vault. According to Matthew's gospel, it was only when the women left the place of the dead behind them that they encountered Jesus in the flesh and very much alive. In our window, he's still standing in front of his empty tomb, greeting us. But if we want to encounter him in the flesh and very much alive, we need to have the kind of faith that these women had. We live in a time when unspeakable acts of evil have been done and continue to be done by people who think their power protects them. We're watching people be locked away, not for crimes, no, but for the color of their skin. The men and women of our armed forces are being sent into another crucible of conflict. Do we trust that God can and will move and act even in the darkest of days? Do we trust Peter's words in the book of Acts that everyone's sins are forgiven because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that those who entrust themselves to Jesus have the knowledge and the experience of their sins being forgiven? Can we trust the words in the letter to the Colossians that our baptism so completely unites us with Jesus that not only have we already been raised from death to everlasting life, we are already in heaven with Jesus while we are living out our earthly lives? Can we live our lives in this world as the citizens of heaven, always seeking and working for the things that are of God. Thanks to Jesus, when God looks at us, God sees righteous people with all of our sins washed away. God gives righteousness to us as a gift. The gates of righteousness have already been opened for us. We can enter into the presence of God and live lives free of shame and full of joy. We are living in very dark times with oppression, corruption, and violence of their own. But when the sun rises on the third day, will we go to the tomb expecting a miracle?